Good morning and welcome back to the Friday Morning After. We're here with Joe Bradhurst. Joe.
Good morning, Montreal. I'm joined this morning by Dr. Donald Scott from the Common Cause Medical Research Foundation. Good morning, Dr. Scott.
Good morning.
How are you doing this morning?
I'm well, thank you.
Dr. Scott, you're the former president of the Common Cause Medical Research Foundation, is that correct?
Yes, I was president for 10 years and retired at our annual meeting in Windsor in August.
Can you tell us, just take a couple minutes and tell us about the Common Cause Medical Research Foundation and what it does?
All right. It's a not-for-profit foundation devoted solely to the researching of the neurosystemic degenerative diseases. These are diseases which are characterized by cells in various parts of the body dying for whatever reason, and among them are Alzheimer's, Huntington's, Parkinson's, multiple sclerosis, chronic fatigue syndrome, fibromyalgia, lupus, Wegener's, and so on. And the foundation has five chapters, one in Canada, United States, Great Britain, Kenya, and Australia. And we have been devoting a significant part of our time over the last couple of years into the role of vaccines in the spreading of certain diseases, especially the ones that we're studying, the neurosystemic degenerative diseases.
Now, upon your announcement from the announcement of your retirement from the foundation on Well, there was a press release that went out on September 21st, I believe, and that's what I'm looking at. Now, you made a very startling statement. It's a statement that's been made before, but still, it's startling to hear every time it's mentioned.
Yes, isn't it amazing?
And what you were basically saying is that AIDS is a man-made disease. It was made in a U.S. laboratory.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. There's no shadow of a doubt. If any scientist takes the written records that are available to them and goes over them carefully and links them together as they are linked by their references at the end of each of these articles, the whole pattern is very, very clear that AIDS was developed in laboratories mainly in the United States, but there was complicity here in Canada. With Queen's University, and there's complicity in Great Britain, Israel, and Australia.
Can you tell us about the Canada connection to this?
Oh, yes. In the 1950s, early 1950s, the Americans at Fort Detrick, Maryland, had discovered how to take the bacterial disease agent out of the bacteria in crystalline form. And this means that you could spread a bacterial disease without having any bacteria. And they wanted to test it to find out whether mosquitoes could carry it. But they didn't want to breed mosquitoes in the United States because in the States, strangely enough, the people are much more alert to what some of the things government does. They don't do much about it, but they're alert to it. And so the government of the United States, through their military, asked the Canadian government if we would breed mosquitoes for them. So Canada agreed to, and they went to Belleville, Ontario, and they took over an old factory building there, and they made it into what really amounts to a mosquito farm. And they began breeding 100 million mosquitoes a month in Belleville, Ontario, Canada. And they shipped these mosquitoes every month to Queen's University, to Dr. Reed, who is head of the biology department there. And Dr. Reed of Queen's University would contaminate these mosquitoes with various diseases, including, evidently, the mycoplasma, which causes AIDS, among other things. He would contaminate the mosquitoes at Queen's University. Then he would turn these over to the Canadian military in Kingston, who would share them with the American and British military, and then they would be tested in various Canadian towns and villages, American towns and villages, and so on. So Queen's University is up to their neck in the development of not only AIDS, but other diseases related to the mycoplasma.
And if we look back into history, the U.S., they had a special virus unit where they were making viruses. Is that true?
Yes. They started off with a special virus program called simply that, the special virus program. And then they changed the name slightly to the special virus leukemia program. And then when Richard Nixon got into office, he thought that it would be much more sexy, as they say, politically, to pretend to be researching cancer. So they started renamed the program the Special Virus Cancer Program, and they got Congress to give billions of dollars, supposedly, to discover the cause of cancer and the cure for cancer. And if you go through their records, now they published a report every year. It's called the Special Virus Cancer Program Progress Reports, and then there was different numbers. And we have most of the available reports. We've managed to get these by very, very, very hard work. And we discover, when you go through their records very, very carefully, you discover that they're not researching cancer solely. Mind you, they're doing that. There's no doubt about that, and they had some great scientists working on it, but they were using the cover of researching cancer to develop the AIDS virus cofactors to the level that they could use it more readily than they were able to use it up till then.
And at the same time they're doing this, In the early 70s, there are a lot of reports being made about overpopulation. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes. The reports on overpopulation have been going on since the early 1900s, actually. The nouveau riche in the United States, the Rockefellers, the Morgans, the Harrimans, and the rest of it began to say there's too many ordinary people in the world and you have to cut back on it. And this became quite solid United States government policy in the 1970s when Richard Nixon again was president, and his secretary of the National Research Council, National Security Council, Henry Kissinger, wrote a report, and that report is called NSAM 200, which is National Security Information or Study Memorandum number 200. And that memorandum is all about the fact that the world's population is growing too fast, or growing, period, and that the United States government had better do something about it and do something quickly, or they're going to be very serious trouble. And he cites 13 countries in particular whose population has to be reduced. And the following, well, actually going on at the same time, because he issued the report, they were already working on it, the United States very generously, and that's said with heavy sarcasm, I hope you can detect, decided that they would give a free vaccination of smallpox vaccine to all the people they could get in these 13 countries, most of them in Africa. And it did wipe out the smallpox, but within 5 years, 60% of the people who had taken a smallpox vaccine had AIDS. So they traded one disease for another, much, much more deadly and much, much more contagious.
And the Henry Kissinger paper, the NSAM 200, that was signed into law by President Ford in 1975.
Well, it was a report to the United States government, the president, and to the Joint Chiefs of Staff are also included, and the National Institute of Health is included. And they made it the basis, the philosophic, you might say, basis of a population control program. It's not a law, but the laws that grew out of it all contribute to in the direction of limiting population control or limiting population growth.
So what basically happened was they introduced the smallpox vaccine, but they attached what would be the HIV virus to this vaccine?
Yes, the smallpox vaccine was contaminated by two things. One thing is called the mycoplasma, which is an organism without a cell wall that derives from a very ancient disease called brucellosis. And it is designed to cause the human immune system not to work. And then they took another disease agent from animals, the Vizsna virus from sheep, also known as the Meiji virus or the Riga virus, and in common parlance is referred to as the scrapie virus. They took the scrapie and the mycoplasma and put it into the smallpox vaccine, and then they shot up hundreds of millions of poor people with this awful, awful vaccine, and these are the ones who then all burst out into AIDS, and they did it in two parts. One part they based on the research being done in Tulane University in New Orleans, and that was under a CIA program called MK Delta. The MK stands for monkey kidney, because they used monkey kidneys from the rhesus monkeys to grow the mycoplasma. And the Delta, of course, comes from the Mississippi Delta. And they even established a farm down there at Covington, just outside of New Orleans. And fortunately, the place was largely washed out by the recent flood. The monkey virus that they generated was used in Brazil and Portuguese-speaking colonies. And then they used another species of virus grown on chimpanzee kidneys in a camp in Belgium, Congo, called Camp Lindy. And so they caused two kinds of AIDS, HIV-1 and HIV-2. And the reason is one was grown on monkey kidneys, the rhesus monkeys, and the other was grown on chimpanzee kidneys. And the HIV-1 was used in Belgium, Congo, and the French colonies and the British colonies. The HIV-2 was used in Brazil and in Goa in Italy, and in the Angola colonies of Portugal in Africa. So you have the two types of HIV, and that is because they made them in two different places with two different kinds of kidney.
And I want to point out to our listeners, this isn't just a conspiracy theory. You actually have proof of all of this happening.
Everything I've said so far and will continue to say is based on official government documents and from journal articles in peer-reviewed journals. For example, I've got here in front of me part of my files. I've got an article from the New England Journal of Medicine, May 15, 1947, written by five medical doctors in the U.S. military, and they're all based at Camp Detrick. And the article deals with the brucellosis among laboratory workers at Fort Detrick. And I have another document in front of me here by George Merck, who was director of the Biological Warfare Research, and it is his report of January the 3rd, 1946, to the U.S. Secretary of Defense, telling them how they had managed to take the disease agent out of bacteria in crystalline form. I have another article here from the American Journal of Hygiene on the mycoplasma, and here's another one, for example, from the Federation Proceedings. It's dated November, December, 1971. Now, I want the listeners to understand that, 1971, because, as you know, officially there was no AIDS until 1981. But here's an article from the Federation Proceedings, peer-reviewed, November, December, 1971, by Thomas Merrigan of Stanford University, and the title of the article is Viral Infections in Man Associated with, now get this, Acquired Immunological Deficiency States, AIDS.
Incredible.
AIDS. Now, you see, these people, they were writing in relative anonymity then, because nobody other than other doctors read this stuff. And they were discussing how they could put the immune system down and how the different diseases could be made into crystalline form and spread by mosquitoes and by aerosol and so on.
All right. Unfortunately, I'm going to have to stop you there, Doctor. I would love to speak about this for hours.
Okay. Well, just so that your listeners won't be under any misapprehension, it's not Dr. Scott, it's Professor Scott. I'm
okay.
A retired professor from the Institute of Molecular Medicine. And I just don't want them to think I'm a medical doctor.
Okay. Now, do you have a book coming out?
Well, we have one out now. It's called Life.
Okay.
From Plants to Animals to Us. And it itemizes this terrible story based solidly on U.S. government documentation and peer-reviewed journal articles.
Okay. So I hope our listeners will look for that, and I want to thank you for joining us this morning.
My pleasure, and thank you very much for the opportunity.
No problem. Have a nice day.
Bye. Bye-bye.